Okay, so tonight we're going to learn a few pieces from the Lev Elio, from Rabbi Elio Lapian, about a kapitel in Tehillim that we are accustomed to say these days when we're in an Eis Tzara. This has become a very popular kapitel to say, which is Kuf Mem Beis, Maskil Ladavid, B'yosef Amara Safila. And what we're going to do is just learn a few short pieces from Rabbi Elio Lapian and his way of defining and taking lessons out from this all-important kapitel. I remember this kapitel when I was in Chaim Berlin. It was always, that was the kapitel. In other yeshivas, you have Shir Amalus and Shir Lamalus, and for some reason, Chaim Berlin always had this kapitel. That was their, I felt like that was their unique thing, and I don't know why, but maybe my estimation was that that possibly when Rav Huttner was taken captive, you know, he was hijacked in 1970 or early 70s by one of the Palestinian terrorist organizations. I think it was the PLFP or something, and the whole Klal Yisrael was scared to death because they had hijacked his plane, and him and his son-in-law and his daughter and other very chashuv talmidim, and there were a lot of very important people on the plane, but Rav Huttner was one of the Gedolei Adar, and the whole Klal Yisrael was really like opening up the gates of Shamayim, you know, and doing everything that they possibly could to daven that he should be released, and Baruch Hashem he was. But I always felt like that this was Chaim Berlin's kapitel, because the end of it is Hetziyah Mimasker Nafshi, that release my soul from confinement, like almost if you're in prison somewhere, so you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that to release the soul, and but then, you know, then it seems to have spread to Klal Yisrael. In general, it became like one of the major kapitlach always to say Beis Tzara. And again, I'm not saying that Chaim Berlin was mechadish this kapitel tolem, but it seems to me that it was never, at least in the world that I was accustomed to, it was never a go-to kapitel until Chaim Berlin maybe popularized it. Maybe I'm wrong, I'm not sure. But what does this mean? What is the kapitel talking about, just on a very basic level? We know that David had a lot of enemies, David HaMelech, and many of them tried to pursue him, and many of them tried to kill him, but none of David HaMelech's enemies came as close to killing him as Shaul HaMelech. Shaul, we know, was bent on killing David, and he chased after David, and David hid with his band of men in a very remote hideaway cave. And imagine the scene, if you were David HaMelech and you're like inside of a cave, and you hear like Shaul HaMelech and his army and his generals, and they're looking for you, and you have nowhere to go. You're trapped inside of a cave, and you just realize that you're completely at the mercy of your enemy, and the only place to turn is the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no other option. Sometimes if you're somewhere else, you can think that you have other pieces on the chessboard that still are yours. Here you're done. You're finished. There's nowhere. You're at a dead end. There's nowhere to go. You're mamish with your back against the wall. You're this close to getting killed, and this is what David HaMelech decided at this moment. This is the tefillah that he davened. This is the tefillah that you daven in a state of desperation. And so when we are in moments of despair, like we find ourselves today with enemies, not only in Eretz Yisrael, not only in the Middle East, but in our own backyard, and you see how how people that were, at least for the last, I don't know, many decades since the Holocaust, they, even if they had pent up feelings of anti-Semitism, they kept it you know, away from the public, they maybe felt it, maybe they spoke about it privately, but they would never, I wasn't politically correct to go out and be, have venomous, open hatred towards Yidden. Suddenly it became very woke and very cool to do it. And you see the mass demonstrations, not just in Gaza and in the West Bank, not just in the streets of Iran and other Arab countries, but in London and in France and in New York and in Washington. And that's one of the cheshbonos of making this very public march, Mitzvah Hashem, a week from today, in Washington D.C. Because politically, it's very, very, it's very difficult. I imagine if you're President Biden and you see, you look out your window of the Oval Office and you see, you know, hundreds of thousands of Arabs and liberals marching in protest of your policies, and you don't see any Jews, and so that has to have a next year is an election year, and you know, for the presidency, and he's got to do something. You know, to fix his image, maybe. So if the thinking, I guess, goes that if Klal Yisrael goes and turns up in mass in Washington and shows that we also have a voice, we're not quiet and we're very pro Eretz Yisrael, we stand with Israel at this moment, then perhaps that could have a little bit of a counter effect to all of the mass protests for the Palestinians. So we find ourselves in great despair. I don't, you know, think that we've had a moment like this in the past since possibly the Holocaust, and we've had a couple of very bad tekufas since the Holocaust, but none as bad as this. This is like a very extreme case that the world seems to be completely unhinged, and we don't know where the next step is. We don't know what's going to happen. And sort of just like David HaMelech in the cave, and you feel so vulnerable, and your enemies are literally at the gate, and you don't know like what's stopping them even from coming in. That's the pachad. The pachad is that, you know, that we're very exposed, we're very vulnerable. We don't have armed guards around our communities and around our shuls and around our yeshivas. We're in gullus like everybody else. And maybe we felt more secure in America than the people in Europe did, than Yidden in Russia did. But today there are many people that don't feel so secure. So we're very vulnerable. And this is the capital of a person who's fragile and recognizes that there's really nothing that I have at this point to protect me except for the Rabbeinu Shalom. So let's just go through a few of the major yesaidis of this zemer, of this capital, and it's a good takeaway to have, so that when we are davening, when we are saying Kuf Mem Beis, we'll have maybe some of these machshavas going through our minds. So, page Resh Mem Vav in the Lev Eliyahu, Chelek Aleph, Tzadi Hey on the bottom, Maskil David, B'yaseh B'amara Sefil. This is a maskil by David, a type of nigan, a type of zemer. This is when he was in the cave, and it's a prayer that he recited when he was in the cave. So Rabbi Elia Lapian says, David HaMelech, B'yaisai Bama'ara, when he was in this cave, Hiskil V'yada, Sha'ayme Lefanav Asid Gadol, U'matzav Meraimam, Avalayada Ma U'masai, V'ichle Ba'atzme Sha'adav Arishin Hu L'samitz B'tfilo. David HaMelech understood that he had a bright future. David HaMelech was a Navi. David HaMelech understood he was very close to the Rabbeinu Shlalom. He didn't know exactly how he was going to escape. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he did feel that he has a bright future. He has tremendous potential. He just doesn't know how it's ever going to be able to happen. How is this going to unfold? Things seem so desperate for me, but yet I have this inner feeling that I still have what to do in life. And what he did was he decided that the first thing is l'sametz b'tfila, to strengthen oneself, to gird himself in tefillah. That's maskil dab yesem mara, tefillah. Tefillah is the one thing that we have when we feel that we have a bright future ahead, but yet we feel threatened at the same time. We're not depressed. We feel we're confident. We have optimism. A yid has to have optimism, but yet we don't know how it's going to play itself out. When a yid doesn't know how to play, how things are going to unfold, there's only one thing to do, and that's to daven. I remember a story that I heard. I think Reb Shlomo Shvadron was once at a chasna hall with Rav Aaron Cutler in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Aaron, and there was all of a sudden a bombing attack outside of the hall, and Rav Aaron went to the ground, as everybody did. They were ducking like under tables. I guess that's the safest place in case the ceiling starts coming in, so at least he should be under some. And Reb Shlomo Shvadron heard Rav Aaron Cutler, who was, I guess, then maybe a man in his 40s, 50s, and he was davening to the Rebbeinu Shlom underneath the table while everything was breaking loose, and he was saying to the Rebbeinu Shlom, "You can't take my life away. I have too much to give to Klal Yisrael. I have too much still ahead of me to accomplish for Klal Yisrael. You have to give me more life." I remember once Rav Palm, there's one of his most famous speeches was his last Shuvu parlor meeting. Rav Palm, Rav Shiva of Tarvadas, very beloved leader of Klal Yisrael, he founded, besides for all his other accomplishments, he founded an amazing network of school systems in Eretz Yisrael called Shuvu. It's primarily for Russian immigrants, and he literally made a mapecha. He made a revolution in Eretz Yisrael. And after he died, it still is going strong, but he was very, very sick, and he was so sick that he was driven to the last parlor meeting. I'm not sure if it was a parlor meeting or the Shuvu dinner, but he was driven in an ambulance, and he literally, like, I think he was nifter a few days later. He had no strength in his body, but he was davening to the Rebbeinu Shlom in his speech, and he was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just give me a little bit more life, because I'll give you back a much better Eretz Yisrael. I want to improve the whole Eretz Yisrael. I want to take all of the Russians that are not from and that are, you know, and I could change them. I could change them, and he really did change the face of Eretz Yisrael. But he wanted more time. And this is the feeling of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, and it's our feeling. Like, we know that we have so much to do. We know that Klal Yisrael has a future. Everybody knows that. But sometimes we feel endangered and threatened, as David HaMelech did then, and this is the tefillah that we say, B'yaseh ma'ara tefillah. What do you do when you're in a ma'ara? What do you do when you're in a cave? But you know that you want to get out of the cave. You know that you have much to accomplish still in life. The thing that you have to do is to daven. The next pasuk says, Kaili el Hashem ezak, Kaili el Hashem eschanan. With my voice, I shout to Hashem, and with my voice, I plead with Hashem. So Rabbi Elie Lapian says on the top of the page, Mikaidem yaitzes haza'aka milibi b'li aymer dvarim. B'li aymer dvarim. Kaili el Hashem ezak. Meaning that this scream comes from my heart without saying anything. Sometimes a person has a cry. David HaMelech didn't cry. He didn't want to give away his hiding spot. But he let out a cry from the depths of his heart. Sometimes there's a silent cry, which is much more potent and much more powerful than even an audible cry. So the first step was, says Rebellia, that he screamed from his heart without saying a word. And achaka kishanafshi nirgas, once my nefesh, once my soul was moved, ani maskil eschanin, then Kailal Hashem Eschanan is more of a verbal plea. So first, the first step is a silent plea, and then you daven with your mouth, you daven a verbal plea that the za'aka that I already have cried to you should be heard. The next pasuk says, Bis Atef, or the one after the next pasuk. The next pasuk is, Eshbech Lefanav Sich, I pour out my plaint before him. Sarasi lefanavagad, my distress, I declare by, I tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu the distress that I'm going through. And then it says, Bis atev alai ruchi, when my spirit faints within me, the ata yadata nisivasi, then you know my path. Ba'irach zu'a aleich tamnu fachli. When my on this road I walk, they have laid a snare for me. Meaning my enemies have set traps for me. So Rabbi Elia Lapian says that this means afilu ba'irach zu shekvar matzasi li b'yigia rabba batzuma. This path that you know my path. My path is the Derech of Hashem. I've been walking down this path my whole life. And I worked very hard to get to this journey. But Derech HaTar She'elech Ba, Gam Shom Tam Nufach Li. There are times in our lives that even though we have invested so much in the Ribbono Shel, we have left it all on the field, we've davened and we've learned and we're following the Ribbono Shel's Ratzon. Look at us, we're in yeshiva, we're learning, we're davening, we're trying our best. But even then, Tamnu Fachli, it doesn't always immunize a person from having enemies lay out traps and snares. A person should never think that just because I'm Ba'irach Zu Aleich, I'm walking on the road of Hashem, that suddenly that gives me some sort of ability to say that I never have a Yetzirah. My Yetzirah is there, my enemies are there, they're always lying in ambush, and I can never get confident. I'll tell you a story about Rabbi Lafayette himself. There was a bachar in his yeshiva when he was, I think it was later in life, so I guess he was the mashgiach in Kfar Hasidim, and he was already a man in his late 80s, I think. And a bachar came to him and said that he wants Rishus to go to a chasna in Tel Aviv. And it was the summer. So Rabbi Lapian says, you can't go to Tel Aviv to a chasna in the summer. Are you crazy? Like, you know, do you understand what Shmiras Einayim issues you're going to have? In Tel Aviv in the summer to go to a chasna, it's not shayach. He says, I'm fine. Trust me, it's not a big deal. It's not a problem. I don't have an issue with it. So Rebellius looks at him, he says, did you go to a doctor? He says, what do you mean, did I go to a doctor? He says, a healthy, normal person has to have an issue with that. But you think you're so from, you're such a tzaddik that you have no yetzara, you could go into the streets of Tel Aviv in the summer and expect to just not have any problems whatsoever? There's no issues? He says, maybe you should go to a doctor and have this problem checked out because of something. He says, I am in my 80s. He says, and I can't protect my own sight when I go out to the streets. He says, I don't go out to the streets in the summer. I'm 80. I'm a man in my 80. Think that my Yitzhara is done. I'm taking a victory lap. He says, I don't trust myself to walk around in the streets in Kfar Hasidim in the summer. He says, you're going to Tel Aviv, a bachar going to Tel Aviv in the summer. That's what it means. Ba'irach zu alech, Rabbi Lapin was the Tzadik Adar. He was the Tzadik Adar. Him and Reb Chatzkel Levenstein, Tzadik Adar. But he said, Tamnu Fachli, there's always, the enemy is always lying in wait. There's no such thing as just a point in your life that you're able to just cruise and just not have any problems. If you think that, well, you know, you're abnormal because you have a Yetzirah and no one else in yeshiva has it, none of the Rabbeim have it, I'm the only guy in yeshiva that has these crazy Yetziraras, you're wrong. Every single healthy, normal person in yeshiva and in Klal Yisrael has the Yetzirah. You have to fight it. Yeah, and we have to try to do everything that we can to avoid it. But it's quite human and quite normal that even Baruch Zu Aleich, even though if you're walking on the Derech HaTorah, you're on this path, you're on a good path, and you're doing very well. You have Rabbeim, and you have Chavrusis, and you have a good Shir, and you have a good Chevra, and it could still happen that you are Tamnu Fachli, the Yetzirah, the enemies are always at the mouth of the tunnel, and they're always waiting to attack. I want to skip to Tzadi Tef. It's a very, very important piece that Rav Elie says. In fact, I have the Art Scroll Tillim. It's excellent. It's a classic work. It was written by Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer, who was Rav Gifter's son-in-law, and it's a masterpiece of a work. If you want to buy something really, really good for yourself, this is like, it's my favorite. It's like, well, I taped it up already. He writes beautifully in every single kapitel. He gives a hakdama exactly what it's going to be about, and then he has a running commentary with great footnotes. It's literally a masterpiece. So in his commentary, he brings from Rav Elie Lapian this piece that we're going to learn together. So he says like this, Hakshiv al rinasi. David HaMelech writes, Hakshiv al rinasi ki daleisi ma'ed. This is already towards the end of this kapitel. Attend to my cry, for I have been brought very low. Hatzileni miradfai, save me from my enemies. Rescue me from my pursuers. Ki amtsu mimenu, because they are stronger than I. They're much stronger, but the people pursuing me are much stronger than me. You have to save me, because I understand that my pursuers are much stronger. Look at how Rav Elie Lapian learns this. What does it mean, meroid fai? Save me from my enemies. It should have said, save me meroid fim. What's meroid fai? My enemies? So he says, pirish haroid fim shani ba'atzmi asisim shira defuni. Sometimes a person creates his own pursuers. It's meroid fai. I created this monster. I was the one that brought upon myself people that are pursuing me. What is that that I? What have I done to create pursuers? Veim hachatam v'ha'avaynes. The sins that a person does, they themselves come back to haunt a person, like a boomerang. You know, you throw it and it comes right back at you. Those are my pursuers. I created those pursuers. Ukumai shamar hatana rabbelaza the tana rib there's a rabbelazman. The tana says. If you do one mitzvah, a mitzvah, you have a great like defense attorney. Every time you do a mitzvah, there's another angel that's created that's going to defend you. But if you are in violation of an avera, if you do averas, then be careful, because now you've acquired for yourself a prosecuting angel. The kateger is that right if hasadim rise. That prosecuting angel chases after a person in an awful way. Vim over harbe averus kind of like right from harbe rechman al son. Person does a lot of averus, so a lot of right from chasing after him. Vizel hatzilein meredfai, save me from my own enemies. David HaMelech is asking. They're so powerful. They're powerful. Mimeni. You know how they got their power? They got their power from me. I empowered my enemies. Imagine if a person would himself create his own worst enemy. That's what we do every time we do an avera. What we're in fact doing is we're creating enemies for ourselves. Nobody wants an enemy. Enemies are the worst things to be pursued by people chasing after you and haunting you and constantly on your tail, constantly in hot pursuit. But we create that for ourselves when we do an avera. It's mimeni. Bashmasi, ani hasibaisi, because I arranged all this for myself. I have no one to blame but myself. Person knows that he did an aver and he doesn't do tshuva. Nasim hamekatrigim, olav yaisir chazak vatzum. You empower the enemy that much more. V'zeo ki amtsu gam zeh mimeni. No matter what I do, it's from me. The power that I gave, that they have, is all taken from me. It's stripped from me. The last pasuk in this kapitel, this amazing, beautiful kapitel, is Haitzia mimasker nafshi, release my soul from confinement, lahaydes Hashemecha, to thank your name. Bi yachtiru tzadikim ki sigmar alai. The righteous will crown themselves with me when you reward me. Okay, so let's see what Rebellia says on this piece. He says, what does this mean? Masker ha-nefesh. What is this confinement of the soul? What's he talking about? When is my soul confined? He says, these are midas harais. This is bad midas. Hakina v'hataiva v'akavu. When a person has jealousy, when a person has taivas, when a person is always interested in his own ego, his own honor, hema hashrashim, these are the root causes of being in confinement. You've confined yourself with midas rais. Isn't it true? When a person is so consumed by jealousy, who's causing him the problem? Who put him in that jail? I put myself in that jail. I put myself in the way that the Archa Sadikim describes somebody with kinna. If you ever have kinna and you want to work on the midah, I think we all have kinna to a certain degree. I think it's safe to assume that we're jealous when we see people that are more successful than us. Sometimes it's in learning. Sometimes it's in gashmiya. Sometimes a friend got a big job offer, a big promotion. He got into a great graduate program. He did a great shidduch. And whatever it is, we have a tinge of jealousy. Sometimes it's more. And it bothers us. It bothers us that somebody else is doing better than we are. So the Archa Sadikim says, I love the line that he says, everybody has the ability to enjoy their food. If let's say you're at a big chasna, and everyone's enjoying the music, they're enjoying the food, everybody is having a great time except one person in the room. Who's not having a great time? The person that's jealous. It's always that guy in the room that's jealous, looking around at the chaslin, at the kala, at the this, at the that, you know, the band, at the, and jealous. He might be eating the same sushi as everybody else, but he can't enjoy the taste of it. He can't enjoy the wine. He can't enjoy the music because he's so bitter and so all-consumed with envy that everybody's enjoying life. I put myself into this tunnel, into this confinement. Nobody else put me there. It's my own bad midas because I'm jealous, because I have taivas, because I want kavod. And I see other people getting big kavod. Other people got to keep it under the chuppah and I didn't get it. Other people are, the chassan is dancing with them first and he didn't ask me to come yet. And it bothers me. I can't enjoy the whole simcha. Who did that to me? No one did it to me. I did it to myself. David HaMelech is saying, I want you to, please, Hashem, get me out. Obviously, besides for the Pshuta Shomik, which is talking about David HaMelech in the cave with the enemies around him, he's asking him to save him from his immediate emergency plight. But there's a deeper pshat over here for us, for all of us that are not, Baruch Hashem, in caves and hiding from our enemies in a physical way. But we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to free me from my containment, from my confinement, to free my soul, because I'm confined. I confine myself in my own trap of kinna, of taiva, of kavod. I created this gehenim for myself because I set the bar for myself so high. Vanfeim rabu mayid, and there's so many branches of this. Veim seiger mes hanefesh, and they encaptivate the soul. They captured my soul. I want to shteig. I want my soul wants to be normal, wants to be from, it wants to be holy, but it's always mired in garbage that I'm not interested in this anymore. I can't take it anymore. It wants to learn, it wants to be able to shteig, it wants to have a mind that's free for learning. Like every Jewish soul really wants. What's stopping me? Where is the masker nafshi? Where is the confinement of my soul? Achamidais harai saigrim ba'adol about tifreitz peretz l'glishol tara. my bad midas. It's just my bad midas that are not allowing me to, maybe it's a lack of bitachon, lack of emuna. Sometimes, you know, you ever have like, you don't even know what's bothering you, but you know something's bothering you. Everything should be good. Technically, everything should be good. But there's something perpetually bothering me. What is it? Generally speaking, it's just bad news. You have a taina on somebody, you saw something, he didn't give you the right cover, you have a taiva for something, these are things that a person does to themselves that literally it's a trap, it's a prison for ourselves. We're not able to, for our neshama to do what it wants to do. Our neshama is like suffocating inside of us because we're not normal. We're not allowing it to fly and to be free. Then there are people you see in the basement, they're always happy and they're learning and they're steiging and they're always on a high level because they don't let all this gook, you know, pollute and sully their neshama. They're able to just be one with Hashem and let the neshama soar and be free of all the trappings of this world that keep us down and keep us locked up. I want to thank you, Hashem. I want to get close to you. I want tzaddikim to be around me, to crown themselves. I want to be a tzaddik. I want to be good. But my midas rais don't allow me to be good. And this is such a current kapitel. It's so nageya tos on so many levels. It's nageya tos with what's going on in the world and how, you know, we think of the shvuyim, all the 240 people. It's just hard. It's hard for us to imagine it. Like, isn't it like, think that right now as we speak, right now, somewhere in the world, there is 240 yidden, men, women, children, babies. We don't know what's going on with them. We don't know if they're alive. We don't know if they're alive, what they're doing to them. But right now, there's people that are Holocaust survivors. And when we dive in these things, like tzia mimasker nafshi, like release us. They're in a ma'ara. You have to get them out. That's the most basic kavana I think we should have when we say this kapitel, when we say it. But then it's so nageya for us, for our own personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're in a ma'ara, where we're confined. We want to be free. We don't want to be in this cave perpetually and always be down and always have our neshama like scream at us, like, what are you doing? Like, just learn, just daven. What are you looking at schmutz for? Why are you depressed? Why are you angry? Why are you jealous? The midas reis. And so, haitzia mimaskin, we have to daven. How do you get rid of midas reis? You learn musar, but musar doesn't always do the trick. Musar is great. And maybe back in the day, where Rishel Salanter was much more powerful today, Musar is very, very important. But Rishel Salanter himself said that, like, sometimes Musar is not enough, and you need more than that. And sometimes when you don't have any other Eitzah, you daven. And davening for Midas Tavis is a good thing to daven for also. If you feel like this resonates with you, that Taka, I have this tivus constantly, and it doesn't let me breathe. I have this kin, I'm jealous of the world. I wish I was everybody but me. And I have and I want covet. I don't feel people are giving me covet. They don't respect me. They don't give me, you know, everyone else seems to be getting so much more covet, and me, I don't get the recognition that I deserve. We all, I think, have this to one degree or another. It's very human. But it's what it's doing is it's squelching every opportunity that our neshama has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, to have a melos and taira. What does it mean to have a melos and taira? What do you have to do to have a melos and taira? You have to have a mind and a heart that is free of all distractions. You can't have a melos and taira if your mind is thinking about, you know, this and that and taivas and gaivas and kas. And if you have a mind that's always polluted and littered and strewn with the debris of life, very hard to have to sit and understand a machlekes rishayim and to try to work on a shir and try to chazer gemara. You're just so inundated with garbage that you can't. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could free my, you could remove me from this confinement that I find myself in. My neshama is confined, it's trapped, it's a prisoner, it's a hostage. I want you to release the hostage. I want you to release my neshama. I'd see him asking, "Lahaydes Hashem Echad." So I could thank you. I could daven like a mensch. Can never daven. I'm always so full of my mind. If you'd open up my brain, it would be like a cholent of all craziness, of distractions and of people and issues and problems and family and friends and gaiva and all this stuff it's in my head. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clean my mind out. Haitzia mi maskana, take me out of this place. I don't want to be here anymore. Biachtir tzadikim kismal. That way, tzadikim will crown themselves with me. I will be uplifted. I'll be like a real yid. I'll feel my neshama. I'll feel pure. And that's something that we all need to do. We all need to, especially in this time that we're so. It's so easy to be distracted. And I think we're all very, I know I am, I'll speak for myself, like it's very hard to do anything, but constantly, you know, see what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, what's going on, what's happening in the world. It's such a, but, and that's maybe important to a certain degree, possibly, but the vast majority of our day should not be spent, you know, obsessing about Eretz Yisrael, to worry about Eretz Yisrael, yes, the Daven Eretz Yisrael, of course, but we have to like really work on cleaning our minds and just being able to focus like a laser on Torah and on Tefillah and on serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu and to clean up our brains to release from confinement the neshama, which is just, it has a few days in this world, a few hours in this world to do what it's supposed to, and then that's it. So allow it to go free, set it free, your neshama, and stop with all of the midas reis that imprison the neshama, that doesn't allow the neshama to do what it's really supposed to do in this world. And Mitzvah Hashem, these are the kavanas that we could have as we're saying this all-important kapitel Kuf Mem Beis.